All right, so for this morning, we're going to follow along with the theme for today. What is the theme? All right, the theme is faithfulness. And so you spent some time there this morning in Joshua. You looked at Joshua as he was kind of coming to his last days, right? He's going to share some words of counsel. He's going to remind them of how God had been faithful to them, the Israelite people. And yet at the same time, he's going to call them to be faithful, right? So it's not just, yay, God's faithful. It's, hey, you be faithful too, right? He's blessed you all along the way. He saw you through these thick and thin times. His presence has continually stayed with you. So you stay with him. And so we see that there in Joshua. And for our time together today, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 115. Psalm 115. And we'll be there in just a minute if you'd like to go ahead and turn there. But what I want to look at is this idea of faithfulness today, how we should respond to a faithful God. Okay, we saw in Joshua, yes, God is faithful, but you should be faithful to him as well. But what can faithfulness look like? I think sometimes we try to define faithfulness by what we do, right? So I'm faithful because I show up at church, or I'm faithful because I give, or I'm faithful because I serve, or we do it the other way. I'm faithful because of things I don't do. So I don't participate in these sins, and I don't live this kind of lifestyle, and so that's what makes me faithful. But I believe the psalmist lays out for us here some real clear guidelines to know how we can be sure that we're faithful and some ways that we should respond to God's faithfulness. So let's talk about faithfulness for a minute. Have you ever heard God is faithful? Right, so we hear that, we know that, so that's not a new thought here. Which, by the way, much of the ministry of the church is not presenting new thoughts. It's all about reminders. Right? I mean, somewhere along the way, it's going to be new to you, but then it's just reminder, remind me, remind me, remind me. And I think it's interesting that the Lord asked for reminders also. That's why he said, you keep praying. That's why there's a rainbow in the sky. Did you know that? God put a rainbow in the sky as a reminder to him. All right? Not to us. Well, it is to us, but it was more for him. It's a reminder to him. If you read it, it's a reminder to me in Genesis that I'll never destroy the earth with water again. And so sometimes I wonder, just as a side note, when I look at that and go, wow, that's beautiful. If God's like, oh, yeah, I can't bring the rain because there's the rainbow. All right, we may have two very different perspectives on the bow in the sky. But here, let's talk about God's faithfulness. All right, so in Deuteronomy 7:9, let's try to outline some things that tell us about his faithfulness. First of all, he says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the what God? Okay, he's the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. So right up front, the Bible says that God is faithful and we can know that. Okay, God is faithful and I can experience what it is that he is faithful towards in his creation, including me. So God is faithful. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does what? He does no wrong. Upright and just is he. So he's a faithful God that we can know. And in his faithfulness, he never does anything that is incorrect. Then Psalm 33:4, just trying to build a shell of God's faithfulness here. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does. Okay? So he's not part-time faithful. He's always faithful. Everything he does is right, and we can know that about him because his word says that he's faithful. And then how long is he faithful? Psalm 100, verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So how long does his faithfulness continue? Forever. So God is faithful, and you and I can know it. Right? He never does anything wrong. Everything that he does is always in accordance with his faithfulness, and he'll be faithful forever, always. There's never a moment where he is unfaithful. So his faithfulness is great, and so that's why we've titled this message today, God's Great Faithfulness. But here's the reality. If that's true, then that requires a response from me. Right? That means I must respond to how great he is. And so today what we're going to look into how we can respond to his faithfulness. So if you've got your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 115. And we're going to read all 18 verses here of this chapter. So you can follow along if you've got a Bible. If not, it's also on the wall. And some of the verses are printed in your bulletin as a follow-along here today also, okay? So we're not sure who wrote the psalm. What we do know is that it tells us an awful lot about the faithfulness of God. So let's go. Psalm 115, beginning in verse 1. All right? Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. They can't even make a sound. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then here comes you and I, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And he will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And so it is here together this morning. Let's look into God's great faithfulness as outlined by the author of this psalm. All right, so three things we're going to note about his faithfulness. And the first thing is this: God's faithfulness demands, okay, it demands all glory. So all the glory that there is anywhere on the planet, all the glory that there ever is to give to anything belongs to whom? It belongs to God. Now, that's not to say that everything that happens brings God glory, right? God is not pleased by how we treat each other sometimes, by how people in this world act, but everything initially has been built, has been created for his glory. Everything exists to bring him praise. And so the psalmist tells us this right up front. We exist, you exist for God's glory. Okay? You exist for God's glory. Your heart is beating right now for the glory of God. My mouth is speaking right now for the glory of God. So I witness for his fame. Okay? I live and I move for his glory. I serve for his honor. And I simply breathe because I have the privilege of knowing him and making him known. So here's the idea. It very quickly throws things into perspective, right? Who is everything about? Who? Everything's about God. So if everything's about God, then what's about me? Hello? We don't want to say it. If everything's about him, then what can possibly be about me? Nothing. No things. Okay? Everything exists for the glory of God. So help me out. Let's go back to verse 1. First three words say what? Not to us, O Lord. What do the next three words say? Not to us. Okay? So just in case you don't get it, it's not about you. It's not about me. Not unto us, he says. Not unto us, O Lord. He says it twice. Anytime you see something repeated in the Bible, that's how they provided emphasis. They didn't have all the adjectives that we have today. So when they say it twice, it's just really get this through your head. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me or me. It's about him. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. So everything is about God's glory. Have we established that? Okay, that's what the Bible says. Everything is about his glory. Now, why should everything bring glory to him? When you finish verse 1, it says, because of his love and because of his faithfulness. Okay? So everything God is faithful to, and everything that God is faithful to, in turn, should be faithful to bring him glory. That's our responsibility, and that's also our privilege. So he has this thing of never-ending faithfulness going on. So think about it for a minute. When has there ever been a day where the sun didn't rise? Ever? I mean, you may have woke up before the sun one morning, but somewhere along the way it came up like it's supposed to, right? Has there ever been a day that just went on and on and on other than when God answered a prayer in the Old Testament where the sun didn't set? Right? Other than that time, it rises and it sets. It rises and it sets. And it does this day in and day out. Why does it do that? Because God is faithful. Okay? Because God is faithful. And so we can see it in simple things like that. When has the earth ever failed to stop revolving? Ever? No. Why? Because God's faithful. God set it up this way, and this is how things operate. Everything is just orchestrated together, works like it's supposed to, because He is faithful. What about the seasons? When has a season ever failed to come? Now, maybe we didn't get the full-blown results of that season, okay? We don't have a bunch of snow like some people have, but we have winter, right? And here in a couple months, we'll have spring. And, man, if we live long enough, I just bet in the middle of June, summer's coming, right? Why? Because God's faithful, okay? It's always worked that way. So there's not some lab somewhere. There's not a group of smart people that are keeping this whole thing going. They're trying to figure out how it's even happening. God's put it in motion, and it stays in motion simply because God is faithful. What about your heart beating right now? Why is your heart beating? Maybe it's a little bit fast for your heartbeat. We're resting because God is faithful, okay? Why is your mind working and you're listening and you're responding? Because God's faithful to make these things operate. Why does my body work in any way whatsoever? If I can sit and think, if I can sit and ride, if I can stand and walk, if I can run, if I can play sports, if I can climb a tree, you name it. It's all because God is faithful. He's the one who's granted me the ability. So therefore, who should get the glory? Corey? No, it rhymes, but that's wrong. It's God. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. How long do they do this? Day after day they pour forth speech. And then night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So here we've got this thing of God's faithfulness, and it's spoken in every language. There's not a place on the planet that is absent from God. They can see His faithfulness. Sun comes up, sun goes down. Seasons continue. My heart's beating. I'm able to operate. All these things are just simple examples of God's faithfulness. So the whole earth, the Bible says, declares the glory of God. And yet somehow, I tend to make things about me. You ever do that? You ever like to rest on just how good you are, just for a few minutes? Right? You think that you have done something well, and you stand back and look at your work and think, oh, now that's great. Right? I'm doing pretty good here. Sometimes we want glory for the things that we feel like we do on our own. So we say, well, that's my ability. Okay, so I put this bathroom in our house. I can just go stand back and go, oh, look at my ability. Actually, I go, oh, look at my ability. Man, you need to hire that out, brother. But sometimes we like to be just amazed about how great we are. Look at my ability. Look at what I can do. Let me ask you something. Who gave you your ability? God. See, everything about me always should go back to God. So it should amplify God. Right? Sometimes you'll see an athlete and he's done well in a game and he's the MVP of the game and they ask him at the end of the game, man, how did you do this? And sometimes he or she will say, well, I just got to thank Lord Jesus Christ. I got to thank God. He's the one who's given me the ability. So they're receiving praise from people, but they're not hoarding it or keeping it. What are they doing? They're forwarding it and passing it on. Why? Because glory doesn't rest here. None of it's mine. Everything is His. Doesn't mean we cannot appreciate one another. But ultimately, even in appreciating you, it should make me love God even more. I was thinking through this week, and I'm having difficulty answering this for myself. When you thank God for something, does your love for God increase, or does your love for that thing increase? You hear people say it all the time. Oh, I thank God for my health. So what are you really most excited about? Your good health or your faithful God? Or I thank God for my wife. And I love my wife, but when I think of my wife and what God has blessed me with, does that increase my love for him? Or is it like thankfulness for him is over here because what I really love is up here and it's not him? I mean, maybe you answer that easily. Maybe everything you thank God for, it always points your heart and mind to the love of God. But I think most of the time when we say thank you, God, it's because I really like my job. Oh, I love my, and I love my salary, and I love my spouse, and I love my friends, and I love my abilities, and I love me. So thank you, God, for me. I just had some difficulty answering that question. Everything is to declare the glory of God, and yet sometimes I want to hoard it and think, well, I'm all right. My ability, my ingenuity, I'm not talking to me, our creativity, our savvy way, our intelligence, our passion, our drive, on and on and on. We could go and we could say it's about me, but ultimately it's got to be forwarded on. Everything I have comes from the Lord. In Deuteronomy 8, here's what's going on. God is about to bless a group of people with something that they didn't earn. They didn't, in no way they deserved. They were just going to get it. Okay? So here's what's coming to you people. You're not getting anything that you earned or deserve. I'm just going to bless you with it. And in verse 17 of Deuteronomy 8, he says, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." Now, is that true? Where did the wealth come from? It came from God. And he said, you may want to say, but I'm the one working. I'm the one earning. I'm the one who gets to make decisions. No, no, and no. Right? You can, but ultimately you're missing why you've been created. Everything is to be pressed up. It's to go back to the Lord. He says the same thing in Deuteronomy 9:4. He says, I'm going to put you in this land. I'm going to drive out all these people who live there. And I'm going to bless you with this land. So you're going to have houses to live in that you didn't build, fortified cities that you're going to be able to live in. You didn't build the fortress, the rock walls around it. You're going to have all these gardens. You're going to have all this food, all this livestock. None of it you deserve. You haven't done anything to earn it. I'm just going to bless you with it. And then he says this, after the Lord has driven out these people who lived in the land before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of what? Because of me. Somebody needed to inhabit this fantastic land, and why not Mr. Fantastic, right? If anybody gets it, it should be me. No, he says, don't say it because of your righteousness. No, it's on account of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. So all I'm really trying to establish right up front here is that God and God alone is worthy of glory. How much glory? All of it, which means I get what? Nothing, and I'm okay with that. Because that's how it's intended to be. Everything is to be pressed up. Sometimes we sing a song here. It's called Great Is My Faithfulness. Have you heard that one? Great is my faithfulness. Is that how it goes? Some of you are nodding your head. Yeah, oh, that's a girl. I love that song. Thank you, Jesus. No, it's not great is my faithfulness. There you go. It's great is thy faithfulness. Or we sang this morning, I exalt me. No, we didn't sing that. What did we sing? I exalt thee. Okay? So everything is to point towards the Lord. Everything is about his glory. Jesus, I believe, portrays this better than anyone in the scriptures. You'll find him throughout the Gospels. But in John chapter 12, he's just thinking about what's coming down the line. And I'm going to be betrayed, how I'm going to be lied on and arrested, how I'm going to be accused of something that I didn't do, how I'm going to be beaten, made fun of, crucified, how I'm going to die. He's thinking through all of these things. And so he prays and says to his father, he says, now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? And what shall I say? Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? That kind of sounds like how I would pray. If I knew what was coming, Lord, let's think about this for a moment. How did Jesus respond? He says, no, no, I will not pray, Lord, save me from this hour, because it was for this very reason I came to this hour. So in verse 28, he says what? Father, glorify your name. Okay? Glorify your name. So if that brings trouble, if that brings distress, not because of my sin, that's what I've earned. Okay, if these things just happen to me as a result of life, he says, I'll take it because that is my lot. This is where you've positioned me. This is your will for my life. So I'm going to accomplish what you want for me rather than praying and asking you to take this away and make life great for me. So, Father, glorify your name. So we exist for his glory. Friend, it's not the other way around. God's not around to make much of us. We've been put here to make much of him. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory for your love and because of your faithfulness. So as I think of God's faithfulness, it demands all the glory, right? It demands it. It's not a request. His faithfulness demands all glory. Secondly, here, it deserves our trust. It deserves our trust. So that makes sense, right? If God is a faithful God, and he's, all right, so we're going back to the beginning, faithful God, everything he does is right. He's always faithful, and he'll be faithful for every generation. It makes sense, then, that you and I should trust him completely, right? Everything he does is right, he's faithful, then I should trust him with a reckless abandon. So does that mean that if people don't trust him, that somehow they prove that God is unfaithful? I mean, logic says, if God is God and he's entirely faithful, everybody on the planet should trust him. And if everybody on the planet doesn't trust him, then I guess that means that God isn't faithful. Is that true? No. When has creation ever defined the Creator? We don't ascribe to him worth and value. It's the other way around. He's the one who says that we have worth. He's the one who defines value for us. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, God will remain what? Faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's who he is, right? We've established he's faithful, so he can't be faithful one day and unfaithful the next. By the way, would you be okay with a God who was faithful 99% of the time? No. What about some of you, you've been married for a while, or you're newly married, or you want to be married one day? What if your spouse came to you and you said, 51 weeks out of the year, I'll be faithful to you. But that other week, it's off the table. Right? Anything goes. How many of you would have stood there and said, and I do? None of us, right? Because 99.9% faithful is 100% what? Unfaithful. So nobody wants this unfaithful God. And the reality is he's not an unfaithful God. So just because they're not faithful, creation does not mean that he is going to be unfaithful also. Romans 3, verse 3 and 4. What if some people don't believe? What if they don't have faith? Specifically, this was relating to the Jewish people, those who were circumcised. They're the ones where God's blessing is supposed to reside with. They're the ones who are supposed to believe till they die. What if they grow faithless? What if they don't have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? What do you think? No, and that's exactly what Paul says in verse 4. Not at all. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. See, the bottom line is God is faithful whether you and I believe it or not. However, knowing that he is faithful deserves our full trust in him. Right? Every way that he wants to work in our lives should be okay with us. So why is it then that we have a trust problem? Why is it that I won't hold to him recklessly always? I think we go right back into point one. Because somewhere along the way, we want some of that glory. I may not be the greatest guy on the planet, but you need to know I'm pretty spectacular. And here's why. Okay, and you tell me why, how special you are. Oh, you are. You're a very special person. I thank God for you. Right? No. He deserves our whole trust. And sometimes I simply won't trust him because I just want to exalt me. Look at what my hands have made. Look at what my ability has accomplished. Look at what I have brought about. Without me, this would not have happened. Wrong. Who put the breath in your lungs? Who put the brain in your head? Who put the heart in your chest? Who allows you to function? Who's the one who says, time to check out? All right, that's God. Ultimately, he controls all of these types of things. See, for many people, many times it's me. I want to make it about me. And that's what's going on in our text here. All right, if you think back through the text here for a minute, you've got people who are creating idols out of wood and stone. Right? An idol back then was just a little, you've probably seen them in pictures or whatever. They would carve it in the shape of some kind of image, an animal, or some kind of person, or try to create their own little god. They'd paint them up real nice. They'd cover them in gold and silver and just set them up on a mantle or bring them into the temple where people would come and worship these little things. That's what's going on in our text. And so they're saying, look at what my hands have made. This is my God. But think about that for a minute. How can what I have made be over me? Does that make sense? How can I make something that's greater than me? And did God create something that's greater than God? No, and so he's saying, look, your little hands have made these things, and you're setting them up and worshiping them like they're God. And they came from your hands. He says, let's talk about these for a minute, because here's what you want to say to me. Where's your God? Your God's in heaven. Well, yeah, he is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Where's your God? Your God's this little wooden deal that you go to the temple and worship, and he's got eyes but he can't see, ears but he can't hear, he's got a nose but he can't smell, a mouth but he can't talk, he can't even muster up a sound. He's got hands but he can't touch, he's got feet but he can't walk. So tell me, where is your God? I mean, that's crazy. And we think it's crazy today because we don't worship things like that, but it would be like me taking this offering plate here. Right? And I'm going, oh, great offering plate. Silly, isn't it? It's shaped like the sun because this offering plate gives me warmth. And it's shaped like a soup bowl because this offering plate gives me nourishment. And it's shaped like Captain America's shield because he protects me in all situations. That's dumb. Right? What is this? It's wood. All right? Nothing holy, nothing sacred about it. It's stained wood. And I'm not going to bow down to it. And yet sometimes I've got some other idols in my life that I willingly bow down to. The psalmist said to trust in something like that is foolish. Look at your idols. Look at how they can't do what they portray they can do. How foolish to call that God's. And it's no different today. Right? You may not have some little wooden deal on your keychain that you worship, but what is it in your life that you value the most? What is it in your life that defines you? If it's anything other than God, you got an idol problem. Anything other than God, I've got an idol problem. Ultimately, every idol is unfaithful, right? Because only who is faithful? Only God. So let's go back to our text here. Verse 11 from Psalm 115. Why is it that we are to trust in God, not these money, relationship, kids, jobs, whatever, your notoriety, what people value, your accomplishments? Why not trust those rather than God? Why trust in God? Verse 11 says, you who fear him, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. See, God is my help, my shield, not this offering plate. God is the one who provides for my needs. God is the one who equips me so that I can be used for his glory. God is the one who protects me from the working of evil and temptation in my life. It's all him. So when I don't give in to temptation, when I don't bow to sin, I don't go, yes, I'm great. Man, I'm humbled and go, oh, thank you, God. And it should be that way. In every situation, he is my help and he is my shield. Therefore, I should trust him. And here's the reality. I should trust him in every situation of my life. Every situation. So life right now stinks. You know what I'm going to say to you? Trust God because he's faithful. Okay? Have you brought this on yourself? I mean, it's not that God's punishing you. Maybe it's my sin. God's allowed that and he's bringing this as a result of my sin. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's not at all. Maybe it's just a matter of timing. So wait, because God's going to be faithful because he is faithful. He's always been faithful. He said, I'll be faithful to every generation. So don't get all bent out of shape. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Trust my timing because I'm faithful. I am entirely faithful. Trust his promises because his promises are entirely faithful. Trust his lot for your life. Where has God placed you? We live in a culture that says bigger is always better. So if I'm not working up the ladder, I'm working down the ladder. And I'm not saying we shouldn't strive and shouldn't give our best. And if those things happen, so be it. But ultimately, it's not accelerate me, magnify me. It's about Him. Magnify Him. And so I work, I serve, I love, I give in my lot where He has placed me. And I can do so because He's faithful. And here's a thought here that may just blow your mind today. Why should I trust Him to be faithful to me? Let's go to verses 12 and 13. Here's why. For the Lord remembers us, and He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Verse 13, here come you and I. And He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. What a mind-blowing thought. Right now, God is mindful of you. Right now, whether you love Him or don't, whether you're serving Him or not, whether you'd say, oh, it's a great week or it's a bad week, or I've given you my best or I haven't done anything for you, right now He is mindful of you. His mind is full of you. Back in verse 1 and 2, it says, He does whatever pleases Him. You know what pleases the Lord? He loves to be mindful of you. He loves to bless us. He gets great delight in that. And that's something that I just can't hardly wrap my mind around. He's always mindful of me. So whenever you find yourself discouraged next time, whenever you feel like you're all alone and nobody understands your life, and people are talking to you, and I've been through that. No, you've not been through what I'm going through. God is mindful of you. He knows everything in every situation, every fear. He knows every temptation, everything He's mindful of. Remember the next time you're suffering, when your health stinks. Why has God done this to me? No, God's mindful of me right now. Though I may not enjoy this, all right, remember the cross. Right? We didn't see Jesus, oh yeah, bring on the cross. It's horrible. But God was mindful of him. When you find your heart burdened because your spouse or your kids or a friend or whoever just doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, man, don't let it frustrate you. Don't try to figure out, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, just remember, God is mindful of that person. He knows everything about him. He knows everything about her. He knows all about that family, their situation. He knows everything. So trust him because he's entirely faithful. What about when next steps are unclear? Or when the next step is clear and it's a little bit risky? Has God ever asked you to do something you thought, man, I don't know that I can do that? Right? You've just come through it in the book of Joshua. What Joshua tell the priests to do? You just put that foot in the water. Right? The water hadn't parted yet. Just put your foot in the water and God says it will part. See those priests like pushing each other? You go first. You're older. You set the example. No. When next steps are unclear or when they're very clear and yet you think, oh God, I just can't do this. You've got to help me. Take that step because he's mindful of you. He's mindful of you. He desires to bless you. Okay? Not because you're great. Not because we're worthy of glory, because we're not. We've already said that's all his. He just loves to bless people. So trust him because he will be faithful. So he deserves my trust. He demands all glory. And then how this works within me here last is that he delights my heart. God's faithfulness will, can, does delight our hearts. And so as I remember, everything exists for his glory. Okay? As I remember that he is always and all times faithful, what that stirs in me is this delight to praise him. It's this kind of, I've got to say something, or I've got to sing something. Have you ever had a song come on the radio and you're like, that's the song I want to sing? Man, that's what's going on in my heart. How did you know? You know, and it's just perfect. Or you walk in here and you hear a song, oh yeah, that's, man, that's what's coming out of me. That's what I want to say to the Lord. And I'm so thankful there's a melody or there's a lyric to it that I can express what's going on in my heart. See, if I remember that God is always faithful, it brings delight within me. It delights my heart. verses 17, 18 of Psalm 115 says, it's not the dead who praise the Lord, right? Body, soul separated, that body is in the ground. Those who go down to silence. So they're not the ones praising the Lord there. It's we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. And so he says, praise the Lord. Right? It's we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. So praise the Lord. I mean, do you hear the resolve here? As for us, while we're still alive, while we have our being, there's a song we used to sing here, something like, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praise to God while I have my being. While I'm still alive, while I have my mind, my capabilities, morning to night, day after day, I will praise the Lord. That's the resolve of this psalmist. For he's faithful. So not to me, but to you. I exalt you, not me. Great is your faithfulness, not mine. You do whatever pleases you, and for whatever reason, it pleases you to bless me. And I love that. And I thank you for my blessing. And so I want to exalt you, not so much how I've been blessed. See, these people here, we don't know the author, but they knew something about God that you and I know as well. And that's God is faithful. God is always, always faithful. He cannot be anything else. And so it stirs their hearts to simply say, praise the Lord. So as I remember him, I want to praise him. It stirs my heart. It creates these deeper affections within me for him. When I worship him, there is this not, it's not void of value. There is an experience. All right? And I hope that you experience that. It's not just singing words and melodies. It's that what I'm saying is connected to what's in my heart, and it refreshes me, it revives me, it connects with me. Man, it challenges me. Whatever it is, it's just alive. God's faithfulness delights my heart. I mean, think about it. How many times have you raised your hand as you sang because you're remembering God's faithfulness? Came across a song you may have sung 100 times, and we sing it one time, and God been faithful to you that week or that day, and what did it stir in you? I just got to worship him. I just got to praise him. See, when I think about his faithfulness, it delights my heart. It has to come out. How many tears have you shed from experiencing God's faithfulness to comfort you, to encourage you, to provide you with peace or rest, to give you that strength to endure, that determination to be self-controlled, that will to keep going? How many times you expressed tears as you thought about God's faithfulness to do those kinds of things in your life? Have you ever prayed and not been able to pray? Because you're just a bumbling mess? Have you ever tried to sing but you couldn't sing? Because it's just like, it's deep, man. Right? It's touched my heart. It has refreshed me. You have delighted me when I think about his faithfulness. I mean, how many times have you and I prayed prayers thanking God for being faithful to see us through? How many times have we prayed prayers waiting for God's timing, thanking him for being faithful? How many times have you thanked God for being your helper? For being your shield. Right? When you're thanking the Lord, what are you doing? You're just praising him. You're giving him worship because he's delighted your heart. So when I remember his faithfulness, it causes this delight in me to worship him. See, as I remember him, as I experience his faithfulness, it stirs my affection. And it calls me, just as it did this psalmist, to lay everything aside and follow the Lord with all I've got. Every Sunday for me is just this rekindling of not to me, but to you. And this is why I have my life, not for me, but for you. And I'm refreshed in who he is. And by the way, that's typically Monday through Saturday as well. The Lord delights our hearts as we consider that he is faithful. So God's great faithfulness. Everybody in the room has experienced it. Everybody in the room currently is experiencing his faithfulness. So from the rising of the sun to the going down, to the beating of your heart, prompting in your head, to the response that you desire to make, God is at work right now because God is faithful. And here's what I wonder. What I wonder is, do we recognize it? You ever written off God as just heartburn? You feel like there's something you should do, and it's just there's this something that's distressing within me, but it's, oh, I'm just hungry. That's what it really is. Sometimes we write it off and we ignore it, or we act like it's not God. I wonder, do we recognize His faithfulness? Does everything in your life point glory back to God? When I say everything, what do I mean? I mean everything. Everything. Or somewhere have we taken that little pat on the back? I know I'm pretty good. I'm worthy of that praise. I deserve your affection. Have we robbed God of what is rightfully His? I wonder, do we seem to have what would be to the world a reckless trust in the Lord? That desire to wait on Him. That ability just to keep on keeping on, to press on even though life is difficult. Or do they just hear us mope and gripe and complain and talk about how bad everything is? Listen, the world's always been bad. Economy's always been bad. Sinners have always been sinners. Been singing that tune for centuries. The tune we need to be singing is that He is faithful and He's great at it. When people listen to our speech, would they say, man, they've got a reckless trust in God? Or is my trust just when I'm pretty sure He can come through in that situation? I kind of see that door opening, and so I'm going to go ahead and say it's God because it's going to happen. Or do we look at situations that seem impossible and go, no, but God's going to be faithful there. I don't know how. I don't know what He's going to do, how it's going to work out. What I do know is that I can trust Him because He's faithful. And then is there this delight in your heart? I mean, honestly, friend here, church, is there a delight in your heart for the Lord? Is there a genuine desire that just, I want to praise Him? I want to praise Him. I want to live a life that's honoring to Him. Or are we just throwing around some church slogans? Maybe you sit here today and you just say, my heart is a little bit insensitive to God. God has many great things. And one of those things that He is great at is being faithful. And so do you know that to be true for you today? The last thing I'll share with you is this. God's greatest demonstration of His faithfulness is when He gave His Son Jesus for you and I. That's the greatest demonstration of faithfulness. Why do I say that's faithfulness? Because way back in the beginning, back in Genesis, God said, I'm going to bless the whole world through you, Abram. And this blessing that's going to be far-reaching to every corner of the earth, to every soul on the planet, is going to come through my Son, Jesus. See, Jesus is the one we all need. Jesus is the one that removes our sins, makes things right between us and God. Maybe here today you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior. There's no greater demonstration of faithfulness than what God has given you in His Son. And so maybe this morning you'd like to trust Him. Maybe today would be the day where you choose to respond to how God has been faithful to you.